Please notice with me 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, wherever ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Even as we consider this course, the world's religions. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. The world will hear and follow after a false teacher. Notice here the contrast in verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now that we've considered four reasons for examining false religions, I offer us to consider six tests, scriptural tests for false teaching. First of all, do they believe in the one true God? Do they believe in the one true God? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, a verse that is removed from the modern Bibles. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Notice three persons in one Godhead. Do they believe in the triune God, the one triune God? 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 22. Notice the statement here about our one true God. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Notice again that statement. O Lord God, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee. We're not talking about a bunch of different Greek gods. We're not talking about a bunch of different Hindu gods. There is one God, and there's no God besides him. Isaiah chapter 44. There's many references to this. I'm just looking at a few of them. Isaiah 44, verse 8. Isaiah 44, verse 8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, I know not any. The God of heaven says, I do not know of any other God. These statues are not gods. God says, I alone am God. And someday he will destroy all other gods, these false gods. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. Notice here, these customs of idolaters are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because, or carried because they cannot go. You have to carry these Buddha statues with you. You have to carry these false gods with you, these idols. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Notice, God is incomparable. There is no other God like him. Thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Notice that statement again. The stock, these idols, are a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish. And gold from Uphaz, the work of the workmen, and of the hands of the founder, blue and purple is their clothing. They're all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God, he is the living God, and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. All of these false gods will be destroyed someday. So again, we ask the question, Do they believe in the one triune God? Judaism and Islam are monotheistic religions, but they do not believe in a trinity. Many religions are polytheistic. They have many finite gods. Even Mormons are polytheists. So the first question we must ask in testing false religions, do they believe in the one true God? Second question, do they believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God and the only way of salvation? Let me ask that question again, or state that question again. Do they believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God and the only way of salvation? Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Here Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount says, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Notice the contrast of these two ways. Notice Jesus says to enter in at the strait gate, the narrow way. Because wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Billions of people are following these false religions. Billions of people are on their way to an eternal lake of fire without Jesus Christ. Many there be which go in thereat. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be which find it. So notice there are few that will be saved, that will believe in the truth. Notice Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Here in this context of Jesus Christ questioning his disciples as to who people are saying that he is, notice it says in Matthew 16 verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Notice, everyone must answer this question biblically, personally. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. God the Father reveals, in fact, he wants to reveal this to all mankind. And in fact, in many ways he has. He's given the written word of God, and he's also revealed God as himself as creator through creation. So as we see this, God has revealed himself. God wants to reveal this truth unto all of mankind. But we see Simon Peter personally answering, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do they believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God? Do they believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation? John chapter 14, verse 6. A very clear statement here. Jesus says that he is the only way of salvation. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The test of Jesus Christ. Do they believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God and the only way of salvation? That sounds pretty narrow. Yes, it's as narrow as the King James Bible. Question number 3. Do they believe that the Bible is God's only written revelation? Do they believe that the Bible is God's only written revelation? Or do they exalt their own writings? You think about most of the world's religions exalt their writings above the Word of God. Those writings are Satan's counterfeits. 2 Timothy chapter 3, a statement here about the inspiration of the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture, in fact, let's look at verse 15, because this, again, refers to salvation. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Not Buddha, not Confucius, not Muhammad, not Allah. Faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Notice this statement again here about the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it is profitable for four things. First of all, for doctrine, for teaching of what is right. For reproof, for showing us what is not right. For correction, for showing how to get things right. And for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. The Word of God was given by inspiration of the Scriptures. Notice also 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We have a statement here as to how the Holy Spirit gave the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved. That word, Greek word that's translated moved here is also translated driven in Acts 27 verse 17. That gives us an idea of how this took place. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. Literally, we could say they were driven along by the Holy Ghost. Even as the wind was driving the ship that the Apostle Paul was on in Acts 27, so the Holy Ghost, in essence, the wind of God, the breath of God, moved these holy men of God to write exactly, word for word, what was to be in the Bible. Do they believe that the Bible is God's only written revelation? Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words, notice individual words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Notice, proving that they are unsaved. And out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. But again, verse 18, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Again, they are proving they are unsaved. You think about the writings of the cults. The Catholic Apocrypha is an addition to the Scriptures. You think about the writings of Hinduism, the writings of Buddhism, and all of these false religions, the Quran of Islam. All of these things are exalted as great or greater than the Word of God. Do they believe that the Bible is God's only written revelation? That's another test for false teaching. Number four, do they practice the command to love? Do they practice the command to love? Here in Matthew chapter 22, as Jesus Christ is tested, and they're trying to find some things to trap him in his words, Matthew chapter 22, verses 33 and following. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Do they practice this command to love? Let me point out here an observation. The religions of the world are based on fear, not on love. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Fear of damnation for not doing enough works is what the world's religions are based upon. They also are trying to appease God or the gods. They're not trying to please God because of love. So again, we ask the question, do they practice the command of love? We think about 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The motivation of love for Christ, or because of the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, and that they which live should not live, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross because of his love for all of mankind. We should be motivated by love. False religions of this world are motivated by fear, not by love. Number five, do they possess authentic spirituality? Do they possess authentic spirituality, or are they legalistic and ritualistic in their religion? Acts chapter 15 gives us an example of the Judaizers. Acts chapter 15, as these Judaizers were going into the churches, they end up in the church in Antioch teaching their false doctrines that you had to keep the Old Testament law in order to be saved. In other words, they are adding to faith. Acts chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Drop down to verse 5 then. And there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses, to keep the Old Testament law in order to be saved. Now, as I said, this was bringing division into the churches. Going back to verse 2, it says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So again, we see here that these Judaizers were bringing false doctrine into the churches. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. So we see legalism. We also see ritualism, and practices of certain rites in order to be right with God. Rituals in order to be right with God. Colossians chapter 2, verses 18 and following. The Apostle Paul dealt with the Gnostics, in particular in this passage, I believe. But you notice here the application to false religions. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head Jesus Christ, the head of the church, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are ye subject to ordinances? All right, so man's ordinances of religion, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using. After the commandments and doctrines of men, these are additions to the scriptures, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. James chapter 1 gives us a statement here about true religion. We're not talking about rituals, legalism, these practices to be right with God. But notice here a statement now about true religion. James chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So we see a contrast here between authentic spirituality, true religion, and a legalistic, ritualistic religion. Number six, a sixth test of false teaching. Do they offer true liberty or bondage to their followers? Do they offer true liberty or bondage to their followers? John chapter 8. John chapter 8, Jesus Christ deals with the Jews of his day, and he offers them true liberty through faith in Jesus Christ, faith in himself. John chapter 8, verse 30. And he spake these words, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, we're descendants of Abraham, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now, they're not facing reality here. They, at this time, were under bondage, under the bondage of Rome, the Roman Empire. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, That, in essence, is Jesus saying, thus saith the Lord. He, as the Lord, is saying, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Again, we're considering the question, do they offer true liberty or bondage to their followers? Galatians chapter 2, as Paul is dealing here with the Judaizers that were coming into the Galatian churches, Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily or privately, secretly, to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these, who seem to be somewhat, they seem to be important, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. What was Paul saying? He says, these false teachers didn't add anything to me spiritually. You know, he was not concerned about their position. But again, as they're coming from Jerusalem, these Judaizers are coming from Jerusalem. They're trying to bring them into bondage, the bondage to a religion. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, the yoke of vain religion. Verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So we have, I've given you six tests that we can use for false teaching. Now, as we apply these truths to our lives, let me first of all ask, is your heart stirred by the idolatry of false religions? Are you stirred by idolaters that are bringing their idols into our culture? Are you stirred, as the Apostle Paul in Athens, by a nation or a culture given over to idolatry? Are you stirred by idolatry in our present day? When you present your faith in Jesus Christ, do you leave the door open for another opportunity, or do you close the door through arguing and hostility? Do you argue with them, and do you become hostile with these in false religions? When I was younger, I tried to argue people into believing the truth. And I wonder how many people, as I consider that now, I wonder how many people I have turned away from the truth so that they will not believe the true gospel of Jesus Christ. When you present your faith in Jesus Christ, leave the door open for another opportunity. Don't try to win an argument. Present the love of Jesus Christ, speaking with grace seasoned with salt. Number three, third application to our lives. How many people of other religions do you know? Have you isolated yourself from the people we are to reach with the gospel? I want you to consider what biblical separation is. Separation is insulation, not isolation from the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in this passage dealing with church discipline. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to accompany with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. As we consider the application to this course, the idolaters of false religions. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother, he claims the name of Christ, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such an one, know not to eat. Separation, again, is insulation, not isolation from the world. Are we seeking an opportunity to reach the idolaters, those who are caught up in false religions? Finally, as we consider application for our lives, are you protecting yourself from false teachers with a knowledge of Christ and the Word of God? Notice with me Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. As these false religions are flooding our culture, we need to be ready with a knowledge of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you, deceive you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, Jesus Christ, and established in the faith. What are we talking about with the faith here? We're referring to the doctrine of the Scriptures. Notice, rooted and built up in him, and established in the Scriptures, in the doctrines of the Scriptures, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, notice the warning here, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Beware lest any man spoil you. The word spoil there means to carry away spoils of battle. You see, we are in a spiritual battle with these false religions. We're not battling against a person. We're battling against the spirit, the god of this world, behind those people that have this false teaching. So beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Philosophy speaks of exaltation of human intellect. Vain deceit, teaching without substance, that leads a person to believe what is false. You think about the religions of this world. Vain deceit. The tradition of men, the customs, opinions, practices, rites or rituals, doctrines that are given from men to men. These traditions and rituals from men, the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. The rudiments of the world speaks of adherence to and practice of religious rituals to produce a right standing before God instead of trusting in Christ's righteousness. Again, that's legalism. That's ritualism. Are you protecting yourself from false teachers with a knowledge of Jesus Christ and the Word of God? For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.